Blog Talk Radio.
This is an Open Talk Radio 313 Flash production.
My Two Cents on Wrestling, the only place to relive the best and the worst of professional wrestling of all time.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of My Two Cents on Wrestling. I know that we've been trying to bring you some video, but unfortunately my laptop just is not doing it. So give me a couple of weeks, get my desktop up and running, and we will get you some video. And as always, I am joined by my co-host, Al Miller. At least I hope this is Alan. Al, is that you?
Yes, it is.
All right. Just wasn't sure if it was Gina yet or not. So how's it going, Al? I know we spoke yesterday, but they don't really know because our audio and video sucked yesterday.
Not too bad. A little crazy day, but settling down now finally. Getting ready to watch Fastlane. Watching some
absolutely.
Old,
I got the kickoff show on my tablet here so I can keep tabs of what's going on the kickoff show.
Oh, they're already on the kickoff show?
Well, they're on the bump right now.
Okay, that's what
I
thought.
Can only assume that it's going to be right after that.
I was watching old WCW. And remember, well, the people might not, but yesterday we got dove into a conversation about rivalries. In 85, Dusty actually won that match but lost that match that you had talked about before I was on the air. I was just watching it.
You talking about at the Starcade?
No, at Starcade he lost. That was, what was it, Thanksgiving? Shoot, I turned it off already. Anyway, there was interference. The Gathering. Yeah, Starcade The Gathering. That's what it was.
Right, okay.
He won but lost that match because he had Rick Penn.
I think 84 was Flair for the gold. 83? No, yeah. 83 was just Starcade. 84 was Starcade, was Flair for the gold. 85 was The Gathering, and then I think 86 was Night of the Skywalkers.
Yes, because 87, I think, was Chi-Town Heat.
Okay.
So I think 86 is right. Anyway. We can move on.
Yeah, no problem. I mean, we got 2 hours to kill here, partner, and we got a whole card of Fastlane that we're going to go over in depth this time. Usually we kind of just gloss over catching up on the current product and whatnot, and tonight we're going to go in depth. We're going to talk in depth about every match on the card as we lead up to Fastlane. I thought for sure the kickoff show was going to be on by now because, or maybe it's on at 5 o'clock because the pay-per-views have been starting an hour earlier these last few months, at least for me. Usually they started at 7, not, unless it was one of those 4-hour, 5-hour marathon ones, but I guess they've shifted it back to 6 o'clock on a regular basis. So the kickoff show should start at 5.
Yep. Sounds right, 6 o'clock my time. So that's what they have been starting last, I don't know, I'd say, except for the big ones, the big four, sometimes they run the 2-hour pre-show.
Right, the 2-hour pre-show, and they start even another hour earlier on the regular show because the big ones are going
right.
Well, they were pushing almost 6 hours. WrestleMania was 6 hours the last 2 years that they had live crowds. And then last year and this year, they've split it into 2 days, which, honestly, I can't stand it. I absolutely hate the two-day aspect of it.
Oh, yeah. I do, too.
You know, I can somewhat understand why, because, I mean, 6 hours is a long time to expect people to sit there and watch the product. You know, by the time they get to the main event, they're tired, they want to go home, but they still want to see their main events and whatnot. So I understand it. I just, me personally, as a complete addict of the industry, I didn't care. I loved every second of those 6 hour ones.
I think, though, that part of it might be due to COVID, because maybe you even keep less wrestlers in the building if they're not going to wrestle that night or be part of an angle.
That's possible.
Just, you know, just throwing that out there.
But I think with a huge stadium like that, I think people can have, you know, no problems keeping 6 feet apart. But it's still possible, especially with this year being allowed people in the stands again. It's allowing, you know, they do have some packages where you can go to both days, but not everybody is going to be able to afford that. So it also allows for one set of fans to come in on the first day and then a whole completely different set of fans to come in on the second day, so that in total they can still probably get close to 80,000-90,000 people.
Sure.
Different people.
So the company still makes
money. I mean,
it
makes sense. Yeah, it still makes sense.
Company. But I was reading right here, the kickoff show does start at 6 p.m. Eastern time.
I figured.
So.
One of the things that I'm very intrigued about is they didn't have a whole lot of prep time for this WrestleMania, having a live crowd in the stadium. You know, usually they have this stuff set a year, 2 years in advance sometimes. You know, they've already said the next three WrestleMania locations. But this one, because of COVID, they were waiting for such a long time to get the clearance. I'm interested to see if there's going to be any grandiose spectacle entrances.
True. We'll dive into that later, but
I think
The Fiend will be back in some sort of aspect.
Well, from what I understand, it's supposed to be Randy Orton versus Alexa Bliss tonight.
Right.
So clearly The Fiend is probably making his return tonight. That's just the way I see it. He's going to be back tonight, and it's going to lead into the rematch at WrestleMania between Randy Orton and The Fiend. That's just the way it's going to be. If it's not,
yep.
I'll be shocked.
Me too.
So, since we brought that one up, we can go ahead and start there, because I said it while you were off the air last night when we were doing our test run, was that the rivalry between Randy Orton and The Fiend, I personally love it. Now, what I was saying yesterday is that, yes, they set The Fiend on fire, and he is supposedly dead, and then Alexa Bliss is doing this almost like ritualistic summoning of the Fiend, and he's going to come back to life. Now, whether or not he has any kind of mutilation, or if he's going to come back, like, you know, fully himself still, is yet to be seen, because I can understand that. It's kind of hard to maintain a mutilated persona when you're active in the ring. The only thing that I'm worried about is the speculation on the WrestleMania match and what people have been saying is that the only way that this thing can get concluded is an exploding ring. Is to literally, like, kill the person on air, because...
Like old ECW type.
Well, the speculation was that they were going to do what AEW tried to do with the Texas Death Match with Moxley and Kenny Omega.
That's why I didn't bring that one up, because I read all about that, and I heard that was a total joke. We talked about that the other day, so.
No, no, absolutely. It was ridiculous, and just like AEW, they're trying to pretend like it didn't exist. We just move on.
Well, you cheated the people out of their money, too, is the point of it. You know,
yeah,
me
no,
and a buddy,
it's true.
Me and a buddy
I mean,
of mine were talking about that, and we almost ordered it, but we said no, something's not gonna.
Now listen, the pay-per-view was spectacular all the way up until that last second.
That's
it
what
was
I
still
heard
worth
too.
The money. You know, it was a great pay-per-view. I loved every second of it. It's just that last freaking moment when the ring was supposed to explode. You get
yes.
the sparklers and smoke. It was ridiculous.
I wanted to compare the Fiend death, you know, so-called death in the angle, to, you know, he's not the first person in a match to, let's say, die.
Oh, no.
Remember
Undertaker
Big Show
was lit on fire inside his own coffin.
Right. Big Show was thrown off a roof in Detroit. You know,
in WCW,
so.
Yeah.
Right. Against Hogan.
At least,
I
think that's what you're referring to, right? The rooftop match with Hogan and the Giant?
Yep. In Detroit. I just always refer to him as the Big Show.
Yeah, I know.
I like
now we have
that.
To refer to him as Paul White.
Right. Unless you want to get in trouble with Vince. You know, he trademarked the name.
Well,
anyway.
It's true. I mean, how many times has The Undertaker been buried alive? AJ Styles
right.
was buried alive at WrestleMania last year. He popped up a month later perfectly fine, you know?
Right. I mean, come on, if you're buried alive, you can't breathe. And it's going to take you a long time to take out of that.
You know, in those buried alive matches, they usually cut it off at the end of the match and run, you know, they end the credits and move on, you know, shut down the show.
Right.
I'd like to see,
yes.
like last year when AJ got buried alive, I would have liked to have seen Gallows and Anderson scrambling over there trying to dig him out right after the match as it was cut into Undertaker driving away.
Now, I thought the same thing, and I forgot to bring that up. I swear I did. But it makes sense. I mean, why wouldn't you? They would have recovered from what Taker did to him by the time Taker buried AJ.
Right.
So.
Yeah, you know, as everybody says, it's professional wrestling. I mean, Heyman, Adam Page... I saw a post on Facebook last night. Somebody was ripping into a tweet that Adam Page made, and there was like 45 freaking comments on that post where everybody was telling this guy just to shut the hell up and lighten up because it's professional wrestling. It's meant
right.
to be a joke. It's meant to be entertainment. And yes and no, you know, but one guy did make a great point. Now, if Adam Page had come on live television and made the comment that he had made on Twitter, then it would have been a bit of an insult to the industry. But it was on Twitter. Let it go. Get over it.
Right, right. Because, you know, Twitter accounts can be hacked, too. Anything can be hacked. But he hasn't come out.
No,
and said
it was I don't.
Hacked.
I doubt it was.
I heard
bad.
About the comment.
Just he made a comment.
I heard about the comment, but I didn't read it. I didn't get a chance to read it. So.
It was something along the lines of he comes in and whoops people's ass in 5 minutes, then goes and spends 4 hours drinking, and the only thing he's scared of is Abaddon coming around the corner.
Jeez, every wrestler worried about that.
I mean, that's the gist of it.
I
don't see anything derogatory about it.
No, from what you just told me, I can't figure it out either. I mean, that's basically what you're there. Okay, most matches are going, what, 12, 15 minutes tops, unless you get a special match, like a one-hour Iron match, or and then you're done.
Usually main event title matches can go 25, 30 minutes on average.
True, very true. But then you're done. And you just made how much money? As long as you get up to where you want to go.
That's the thing. So, that's the funny part about all of it is that every last wrestler that's under contract that is getting ripped by all of these wannabe smart marks and you know, wrestling truists that think that the business has become a joke and whatever, they sit back and they laugh at them. Okay, there's a handful of wrestlers that might take insult to their talent and ability in the ring personally, but for the most part, they laugh at it because it's exactly what you just said. They go out there for 10 to 20 minutes, and they're making freaking, you know, six, seven figures a year. You know, they got the best job on the face of the freaking planet. You know, you work a couple of days a week, and then you go and spend time with, I mean, especially right now because traveling is extremely limited. All these guys in NXT, hell, everybody in AEW, WWE, NXT, they're all stuck right there in Florida. So I'm sure that a lot of these guys have gotten apartments down there and they just live down there with their families. So they go, they do their 15, 20 minutes, they go back, they pack their bags up, and then as soon as the show's over, they go home to their families. You know, right now, I mean, granted, you know, professional wrestlers, they want to travel, they want to, as much as they can hate the travel schedule that it was before COVID, they still want to travel. They love traveling. And
there you go.
But
great point.
It's still a good thing for them this past year, because a lot of these guys have spent more time with their families in the past year than they have in the 5 to 10 years before that. So there is a big high side to COVID for them because they do get to spend so much more time with their families. But they're still collecting these checks. So you can bash them all you want on social media. They're just going to sit back and laugh. Dude, I have the best job in the world, and you're killing yourself, you know, 40, 60 hours a week for scab wages sometimes. Mm. You know, it's like, let it go.
And if you think my job is so easy, come on and try it.
It's true.
You know, just
football
come on
players,
and try
basketball
it.
Players, you know, any kind of sports or acting or musicians, you know, they do get paid a lot of money, and I am jealous of them a lot of times because they have these, you know, fun, spectacular jobs, and they make a ton of money doing it. And sometimes I can even resent it because when I heard, 7, 8 years ago when Cutler, for the quarterback for the Bears, got like the biggest contract in history for like $55 million, I nearly threw up. I'm like, you don't need that much money to be a quarterback.
You don't.
I understand paying these guys. I understand paying these guys a decent amount of money because they're going out there, they're putting their bodies on the line. You know, they're getting injured a lot. You know, so I understand that. Doctors, surgeons. I understand surgeons getting paid a lot of money, but the amount of money that they're getting paid, too much.
But like a football player, you know, you hear about the big contract. Let's say they get hurt. Only X amount of that is guaranteed. And people don't see that. Yes, it's still a lot of money. I'm not going to deny that. It's a lot of money still. But you just hit it on the head. They put their, you know, bodies on the line. Doctors, I think firefighters, cops.
They pay doctors a lot of money because they have other people's lives in their hands.
Absolutely. But I feel firefighters and police officers and EMTs, whatever, they need to be paid more.
Hell yeah.
You know, a lot more than they are.
I've preached it for many years that the freaking 1% of this country, you know, the infamous 1%ers, that have billions, you know, mega million, billion, you know, $1 billion or whatever. You don't need that money. Just give it to the general public that needs it.
Right.
And this whole freaking country would be 1,000,000% better.
No argument here. None.
Now back to where we were talking. We were talking about wrestling. We got off. We were talking about The Fiend and Alexa Bliss. Randy Orton and Alexa Bliss tomorrow night. Now, we have all been enthralled with Alexa Bliss's performance over the past 6 months, if not more. I don't know when she made that flip. Alexa, cancel. I forgot. I can't say the first name. Miss Bliss.
There you go.
Miss Bliss. And
you mentioned that once before.
I'm telling you.
I thought it was funny, but anyway, go ahead.
I don't know what to expect from tonight because Bliss is not going to have a wrestling match with Randy Orton. It's just not going to happen.
No.
So how long is this segment supposed to take to get from the ring announcements to The Fiend's return? Are they going to stretch this out for 5, 10, 15 minutes? I mean, that's one of the only things I'm really worried about this match tonight because it can get boring quick if they take too long,
right,
to do anything.
I could see her coming out, playing her little game for 3 to 5 minutes and throwing a fireball, and then here comes The Fiend. Because Randy got last laugh last time.
Well, I see it more of Alexa, do not say a word. You cancel whatever the hell you just heard from me. Miss Bliss is going to attempt to possibly throw a fireball. Randy ducks it, and he goes to get a hold of her, and maybe he's about to give her an RKO or something, and the lights are going to go out, and then The Fiend makes his return.
Okay, that's a good angle, too. It is. I just figured this time The Fiend might get the last laugh. Well,
oh, no, absolutely The
laugh.
Fiend's going to get the last laugh.
Because
at least
I
for Fastlane.
I see this feud going into WrestleMania without a doubt.
Oh, no, that's in stone.
You know, possibly
the only thing
there.
I hate about it is the fact that they have already kind of let the cat out of the bag that this is the way that they're going with this, which takes away from that shock value and that the anticipation of stuff happening. I'm pretty sure I saw somewhere that The Fiend versus Randy Orton is already scheduled for WrestleMania. But,
okay.
You know, it's like, why are you going to put that out there when The Fiend hasn't even returned yet?
Right.
I understand. After tonight, once you go into Monday Night Raw tomorrow, go ahead and make the announcement it's going to be The Fiend versus Randy Orton. But up until tomorrow night, you're just killing a storyline in a way of that matter of speaking.
And how many times have we talked about that?
Oh, no, absolutely.
You just kill it.
There's a lot of security breaches in wrestling where cards get leaked all the time and you have to make that decision of do you want to switch directions or do you want to stay the course with your original plans. And
right.
When something is so essential like this match that you can't really shift directions without completely just scrapping this whole 6 month storyline, you're trapped in just moving forward.
It's almost like the old WCW script. I've read that, you know, during the show they would still be working on the show.
Oh no, absolutely. Sometimes decisions are made minutes before they go out of the curtain. That's just part of the business. somebody gets sick, somebody gets injured unexpectedly, or...
Oh, right, but this was total chaos from what I read. It wasn't anything like that. It was just certain people, and I won't say their names, you know, just they couldn't agree on things, so finally one guy stepped up, said, this is how it's going to go.
Yeah,
sure
that happens
that
on the indies almost every night.
Oh, okay.
It happens on the indies almost every night.
Right. Well, anyway, the promoter's the boss, or the, you know, basically the booker, not the booker,
he is
the boss.
The boss.
But
the promoter is the boss. Sometimes he puts the responsibility of booking on a booker, but. Independent, especially on the independents, when you rely on a booker, you kind of end up going through a lot of bookers because as a promoter, you watch the show back and you're like, okay, I didn't like this. I don't know why you did that. I don't know why you did this. Okay, so I'm going to go up with another booker.
Sure.
So they go through a revolving door of bookers. The best booker is the promoter. Now, if the show tanks, you can only blame yourself. That's why right now I am the booker for Crash Tested Wrestling, because if the show sucks, that falls on me. I don't
right.
want to have a booker in place, and then when the show sucks, I have to look at that booker and say, you screwed up my show.
You're fired. You know, yeah,
so,
I can understand that, too.
That's
Plus,
why Vince was
that,
in control
you know,
of all of that stuff for so long, because him and Pat and Gerald Briscoe were the we'll just call them the triad of bookers that stayed in touch day in and day out and talked over things and came to decisions. And that's why the Attitude Era was as good as it was.
True. No, I totally agree. So,
now,
do
you have
women's.
The card in front of you for tonight, partner?
Yes, I do. Yes, I do.
Okay,
I
so
sure
starting
do.
With the lowest match on the card, like what's on the kickoff
okay.
show tonight?
Well, not sure what's on the kickoff card, but the one at the bottom of the list is Braun and Shane.
Okay, Braun and Shane. Now, this was something that I think was kind of a last-minute storyline that, yeah, they've been doing it for, what, 3-4 weeks?
Right.
But I still kind of see that as a last-minute storyline to fill a spot on this pay-per-view.
That's
I don't
all
know
I saw
if this
it
is going to translate over into WrestleMania, but it might. Because usually Shane only works WrestleManias.
That's what I was thinking. But look what he did to Braun Monday night.
Oh, no, his build-up for WrestleManias, he's always gotten physical. That's why I think somehow tonight Shane is going to either cheat a win or chicken out in some way, shape, or form or something. There's not going to be a clean-cut victory. That's going to lead into
that's,
probably
yeah.
Braun coming out tomorrow night and challenging him again to wrestle at WrestleMania. Maybe
well,
in some
I was
sort
thinking,
of gimmick match, maybe a Hell in a Cell or something.
That's what I was thinking, but I was thinking if Braun dominates tonight, Shane would be the one to come out and challenge him tomorrow night.
Well, in theory, Braun would definitely dominate because Braun is just that much bigger and badder than Shane, you know. That's why I think Shane's going to pull some shady stuff tonight to either steal a victory or he's going to give Braun the victory by disqualification or count out or something.
Right. I'm like you. It's like a filler match. You know,
it's a filler match to build up to something for WrestleMania. Because now that we're talking two nights again, and you know it's going to be probably 3 hours each night. That's a lot of matches on the card. I mean, we're talking like 15, 20 matches between the 2 days.
Right. We have 8 tonight, so that are scheduled.
And that's standard. So if you think about that, that's a minimum of 16 for WrestleMania. That's a lot of matches.
Oh, yeah. Because you got to include some of the NXT talent that'll be there. And
NXT is going to be involved in WrestleMania this year, though. They have their two-night takeover, the week before
right.
or the week after WrestleMania.
Right. I did see that. I will watch that.
Oh, no, absolutely. The only thing I don't like about Braun versus Shane is that it's almost just a little bit coming off like Braun is whining because he didn't get into the Elimination Chamber, even though it was stated former WWE champions, not Universal champions.
Yeah.
And he comes out throwing a hissy fit. It sounded like he was whining. And then what was it? Shane started talking about conflict resolution, puts him into a tag match with Adam Pearce, and costs him the tag titles. That
right.
I actually kind of liked.
Wasn't bad. I didn't think
but
it
when
was that bad.
Then Shane comes out and starts literally like stereotypical bullying Braun that he's too stupid to understand anything.
Right.
You know, it went from Braun whining to Braun being a victim of being bullied. I mean, he even said on Raw last week that, you know, I've been bullied by people like you my whole life. And
exactly. I thought the bullying era was over.
Well, it's not that. No. Depending on the situation. Now, The Miz would have an argument of being bullied by Bobby Lashley. But Braun,
that's true,
being bullied by Shane, that just doesn't click with me because Braun would rip him apart in real life if that was true. And I know
right.
that Steve Arendt would probably rip me a new one because it's wrestling and yada yada, but that's just the way I feel about it.
No, nothing wrong
so
with that.
So we're at waste speed tonight. Who do you have on the Braun versus Shane?
I'm going with Braun.
Me too. Like I said, I think Braun wins because of either disqualification or count out or something like that.
Right.
What do we got next?
Shinsuke Nakamura versus Seth Rollins.
Now, this one's interesting because they've been pushing Cesaro with this storyline, and I
yep.
think Cesaro is not on this pay-per-view because storyline-wise, Seth Rollins minorly injured him on SmackDown a week or two ago, and Shinsuke is stepping up to defend his friend, which
right.
I love because I've been waiting ever since Roman and Jey Uso attacked Shinsuke for Shinsuke to get some kind of something to sink his teeth into a little bit. So now I believe, and you can correct, you know, tell me your opinion here in a second, but I believe that Seth Rollins is going to win this one, and it's going to wind up being Cesaro versus Seth Rollins at WrestleMania.
Then what do you do with Nakamura? I mean,
well, Nakamura is standing up for his friend, but he is not getting the push that we thought he was going to get.
Okay.
Cesaro, I mean, it was weird how they shifted gears on that, because when he was in that gauntlet match and he got jumped by Roman and Jey Uso, everybody thought, okay, they're shifting gears to Nakamura. But then they stuck with Kevin Owens and pushed Nakamura back down, you know, off the push. And then all of a sudden you see Cesaro start getting this push. Legitimately, like the day that Rollins came back, because he was the last one out there, and then he walked away and started this whole embarrassment thing. It was like, okay, so we're not pushing Nakamura. We're going to push Cesaro. Make up your mind. I mean, I'm cool with either way. Nakamura, they're both great talents, and I'll be happy to see either one of them in a big storyline.
Now, if Shinsuke loses, my opinion is another match that he could get. When we get to that match, I'll explain what I mean. But I think, Seth has got to pull this out because he was on injury for a while. What, 2 months?
Oh, no, absolutely. His first, it's not his first match back, but it's his first pay-per-view back. That's why I said, I believe Seth is winning this sucker. There's no argument.
Right.
I don't think that's even up for debate.
And it just upsets me because I like Nakamura. So I like Seth, too, but. And I think he's gotten rid of the Messiah thing without saying it, but he's still doing it.
Right. Now it's just about the vision.
Right. Exactly. Somebody must have wrote in that that was offensive.
It's the exact same persona. It's just drop the Messiah and now it's the vision.
Right. Exactly. So, yeah, I'll go. I want Nakamura, but I'm going to go with Rollins.
Agreed. I'm kind of with the general public, though, that this Seth Rollins was gone for a few months because he just had a baby with Becky, and, you know, he comes back, and everybody's expecting this different Seth Rollins. And he I think he really missed an opportunity to try to reinvent himself again. Because, like I said, to do the Messiah gimmick without actually saying he's the Messiah, it just seems like such a missed opportunity. It was like, okay, I'm going to come back. It's the same me, just dropping the Messiah, and I'm still an annoying, whiny bad guy.
Yeah, there you go. It still thinks he's in the 80s the way he dresses. With the shoes and those socks.
I don't get the one glove. I've never understood the one glove.
No.
I mean, that goes back to freaking Michael Jackson. I've never understood, let's just wear one glove. Or let's just pull one pant leg up. Or let's, it's like, whatever. Just
I agree.
Whatever.
Yep.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I just don't know. The Seth Rollins thing, I think. I'm really at a loss for it because I don't see where they plan on going with Seth now. Cesaro, I see them giving Cesaro the push, and maybe after this thing with Seth Rollins, Cesaro starts working his way up the card a little bit because they could use a fresh face at the top of the card. But Seth, I don't know. I'm so at a loss for words because it's the same gimmick he's been doing for the last 2 years or year and a half or whatever. Actually, yeah, it's been almost 2 years, I think. And
sure has.
I don't see where that's going. I don't see that going anywhere except to help get other guys over. And if that's the case, okay, fine. If Seth has decided that he's going to help build up other guys on their way up the ladder, great, more power to him because that's what we need in this industry is people to help build people up instead of, worry about losing their spots.
But Seth isn't that old. I mean,
No. I'm not saying that he is. I just, like, maybe he just decided, like Daniel Bryan for when he came back out of his retirement for the first year or so. He was just trying to, at first he was just trying to get over Big Cass. So maybe that's something that Seth is doing right at the moment, is just trying to help get somebody over, and then once that's done, Seth will find a different storyline or be given a different storyline to sink his teeth into so that he can get back into that main event picture. I just think that they missed such an opportunity there, because if Seth had come back as a good guy, it could have built up to a Seth Rollins versus Roman Reigns scenario. And I would be interested to see that, because we had Seth Rollins versus Dean Ambrose, but we didn't. I don't think we've seen Seth Rollins versus Roman Reigns.
Not that I recall.
I could be wrong. I could be wrong, but not in a sustained storyline.
Yeah, I don't think so either. I think Seth might be trying to get, like, a group together. Not Four Horsemen, but I want to, like, mention that name. You know, like a...
That's a possibility, yes. He tried with that, with the Disciples,
right.
But he only had Buddy Murphy. And that's another disappointment there, because I really thought that Buddy Murphy was going to start getting a bit of a push when he broke from Seth Rollins. I thought he was going to be like the main staple of the Mysterio storyline. Maybe him and Dominic team up a little bit, and then he goes and does a singles thing, whatever, while Dominic's trying to make his name and this and that. And Ray just kind of plays manager or something.
Right.
But they kind of totally dropped that scenario. And it's just weird. Like, just dropped it completely. Seth Rollins did the stable thing before, or the group thing with the Authority, with Joey Mercury and Jamie Noble, which I thought was pretty cool. But I don't know. Seth Rollins is just a big question mark for me right now.
Seth and Rollins have met twice. Once in 19 and once in 15.
Oh, you mean Rollins and Reigns?
Or Rollins and Reigns, I'm sorry. They met on October 11th, 19.
I'm like...
Yeah, I'm sorry. They met on October 11th, 2019 on SmackDown, and then they met on a Raw on March 2nd, 2015.
Okay, so it's just two singles matches. Like I said, no sustained storyline.
Right.
And at the time, either they were both faces or Seth was a heel and Roman was a face. They've never faced with Seth as a face and Roman as a heel.
No. Nope. Because both of those...
So, I mean, that's an interesting storyline I'd like to see go for 6 months or so.
Yeah, that would be a good one.
All right, well, real quick here, we got our phone caller in. I believe we have Gina. Hello, Gina. Is that you on the phone there, sweetie?
Yes, how are you?
Hi.
Good, how are you doing?
Pretty good.
Are you enjoying this nice sunny weather?
So far.
I would say yes, but I kind of try to stay inside at my house body.
That's not fair.
It's better than cold, though. It's better than cold, though.
Yes,
when you take your
charge
out or you have to go to the garage or something, it's better than freezing your sack off.
Yeah.
I'm like Chad. I'm an inside guy, too. Gets warmer, I'll be outside, but
yeah, we just getting stuff ready and done for our April 10th show.
All righty. Well, I got some big news for you, Gina. it's been locked in, and I will be posting the flyer here within the next few days. Crash Tested Wrestling re-debuts May 22nd in Lake Station, Indiana.
All right.
Awesome. Yay.
That's great.
Cool.
I will be making the official post this week, or this coming week, I should say. And I'll make sure that everybody gets tagged in that flyer and whatnot. And
sure,
hopefully
down
you
down
can make it out here.
I should be able to. Is that a Saturday?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I should be able to. If I should. Well,
alrighty.
May's my birthday month, anyhow.
Good.
When's your birthday?
Yeah, I'll have a birthday before I come to the show, though.
When is your birthday?
When is your birthday?
May 11th.
Oh, okay. About a week and a half after your birthday.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I've been working really hard, as always.
Nothing wrong with that.
No, not at all.
Hard work's good for the soul.
Yes, it is.
But bad for the back.
Yeah, so true.
Too bad, Gina, you're talking to a retired man.
Oh, it's all right. I would never look at it that way. Never did.
I don't work as hard as I used to.
Hey, then I make what you don't do, I make up for the both of us.
There you go. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Good job. Good job.
On the flip side, my workouts are going really, really awesome.
Cool.
I had a checkpoint a couple weeks ago, and I'm still maintaining my weight at 257, and I got another 3% lean body mass, so I'm doing really well.
Excellent.
Absolutely. I need to get my lazy butt into a gym.
Me too.
All right, I'll drag you two with me to where I go.
Well, if you're up for the road trip to go pick up Al, I mean, maybe he'd be up for it, but...
Yeah.
That's a bit of a drive to go to a gym. Drive out to Ohio and back twice.
That's just... my personal trainer is told one of the other personal trainers, see, I'm 56 minutes away from the gym that I go to in Minooka, and Josh is like, see her? She's very dedicated. And I just was like, I just turned my head like, okay.
No, you are. I mean, I got two gyms literally 5 minutes from my house, and I'm too lazy to get up there. If you're driving almost an hour to the gym and back, yeah, that's dedication, dear. That's definitely you showing determination.
That. Yeah.
I don't know if I'd drive an hour or an hour to the gym.
No, I wouldn't.
So what else you guys been up to besides you getting ready to relaunch your wrestling promotion?
Oh, just the same old, just doing my door dashing, doing my radio shows.
I saw the post you put when you got stopped by the train.
Yes, ma'am, that's in our True Unity support group.
Yeah, and thanks again for starting that. That's been really helping.
Well, I mean, that's why I started it, but, you know, ever since I started it, I'm the only one making any posts. So I it's like we're supposed to be lifting each other up, and
I'm the only one being a motivational speaker there.
No, you don't have to do videos. I'm not saying you have to do videos. Just post
something. I mean, I try to post
doing. You know, let them know how you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Wishing everybody
else has
a good day. You there?
But I can't wait to see you guys.
Well, you probably see him before
You're not going to see Al in person, but here in the next couple of weeks when I get my new computer, you'll be able to see Al. You should be able to see Al on the video for the show.
Uh-oh.
Cool. Hey, there's nothing wrong with that, Al.
Huh?
I said there's nothing wrong with that. That's a good thing.
Al believes he has a face for radio.
Yes, sir.
Face for radio and a voice for TV, so he's kind of SOL.
Oh, wow. I guess there's no in-between there, is there?
No, not really.
Hey, I'm no Adonis myself, okay, so don't worry about it, Al.
Yeah.
And like I said, things happen. But since we talked last, I've been doing really well. I had some medical issues with a pinched nerve in my face, but that's getting better.
Did you have Bell's palsy?
What?
Did you have Bell's palsy, where you half your face went kind of dead for a little while?
No, it was somehow the nerve got pinched in the side of my face. But to answer your question, I'm on naproxen, so that way the nerve don't inflame anymore. So I'm doing good.
That's good. I just asked because I've actually suffered from Bell's palsy on three different occasions where the right side of my face went dead for a few weeks. Not something fun to deal with, that's for sure.
No, I'm a type of person that can't deal with pain very well.
There's no pain to it. That's the fun. That's the weird part about Bell's palsy. There's no pain. It's just your face goes dead. You can't move the side of your mouth. You can't blink properly. You can't smile. You talk funny because you're talking out one side of your mouth. And,
yep.
You know, so, I mean, there's no pain to Bell's palsy. It's just weird.
But, no, I'm doing really well. And, like I said, we have PWX has our show on the April 10th. We got 8 matches, and hopefully things will be going good. Well, things are going good. Like I said, I cannot wait to come see you and meet you. That will be a fun time.
Absolutely. I'll reserve a front row seat for you, dear.
Thank you. Like I
said,
if
you don't show up,
like,
I'm giving it away.
No, you won't.
Yes, I will.
Oh,
I'm not
if I show up, you're
going to
get my
penis sitting there during.
What?
I'll put a little sign on there that says reserved for Gina. But once the door's open, if you ain't there, I'm giving your seat away.
No, I'll be there. You guys think I'm coming from Illinois to Indiana, remember?
I know. I'm just messing with you.
I know. Can you, when you get ready to put the flyer out, can you actually send me one so I can actually write the address down for my maps, please?
No, absolutely. Everybody that I'm inviting to it, I'm going to tag in the post, so you'll have a copy of the flyer on your Facebook.
Okay. And I honestly, I don't know how the CSW show went Friday night, because I didn't get to go.
Do you have to work, or?
Yeah, I was.
No,
last night I was thinking. Sorry, go ahead.
They are still doing COVID restrictions for some of the shows. So I guess CSW's first show back could only have like 50 people.
Okay.
So I don't even know how. I have to talk to Steve Arendt because I was kind of curious how TJ and Steve had their, not against Chris and Cody, but had their title defense against Cypher and who I can't remember who Cypher's tag team partner was. And I told Steve I wouldn't feel happy if TJ and Steve lost to Cypher and his partner other than Unst losing it to Miller and Cody.
Right.
So they only had 50 people come the other night?
Was that last night, or was that the night before? Friday night.
It was a Friday night show.
Yes, the shows run on Friday.
Oh, they do?
Mm.
Oh, I thought they were Friday. I thought they were Saturdays.
No, that is PWX, and the Zala shows I go to are on Saturday.
No, I was just saying, it surprises me a little bit that they run on Fridays because usually independent shows are on Saturdays, but I guess that makes sense.
See, that's when I went to my first CSW show, I was thinking, why Friday? Well, I guess it's maybe they contracted the venue so that they could have Friday shows. I don't really know. That's a good question.
Well, honestly, it's a brilliant move because if you do your shows on Friday night, which is the first night of the weekend, and you get everybody to come to your Friday night show, then not too many people are going to want to go out the very next night for the Saturday night shows. So it's actually quite a brilliant decision to run on Friday nights.
Yes. Yeah. So what else you been besides your shows? In your DoorDash.
Not much.
I'm just trying to
get it all going. I mean, Martez will probably butcher the name tomorrow, but we're doing 321 General Hospital on Mondays where we talk about...
Yes, and I won't call in, I promise.
You don't have to, but we'll let you in if you want.
No.
You don't have to feel obligated to always call in.
I hardly ever watched it, but I haven't watched it since the 80s.
Yeah.
Well, it's a dark, twisted passion of mine and Martez's, but we don't shy away from it. We're guys, and we like General Hospital.
Hell, I watch. Go ahead, Gina.
Why would you think you guys would make me mad when you asked, or when I called in that day? You guys could never make me mad. You would have to do something very bad to make me piss off and mad at you and guys.
It's not about making you mad. It's about hurting your feelings because sometimes our conversations can go on for quite a bit and we don't want to take away from the rest of the show. So we don't want to cut you off, but we... Sometimes we kind of have to. So we just don't want to hurt your feelings like we're trying to rush you off the show.
Right.
I would never think you would be rushing me off the show.
Oh, okay. Well, then we'll talk to you next week, Gina. I'm just kidding. Right now you're the only person that's called in, so we got all the time in the world. Are you watching Fastlane tonight or no?
No, because I don't have network.
Ah.
I don't have WWE Network unless I can get the app on my tablet. I wish I...
You can, if you're willing to pay the money, but...
Yeah.
Yeah.
They usually give you a free
That's
month.
A weird thing. I don't know how that's playing out with the Peacock thing, because now they're doing the Peacock. I've looked on Peacock. They don't have everything the network has. I don't know if that's short term, if they're supposed to get the rest of the library or not, but they have a fraction of what the network actually has. So I don't know if the network is going to continue running and the pay-per-views are just going to be exclusive to Peacock, but we're going to have to wait and see on that one.
And I did see a commercial, too, that said new customers, $2.99 a month, no matter
Peacock?
What you watch. Yeah.
Yeah,
yes,
but that's
with
commercials,
Peacock.
Though.
Yeah,
right.
But can you rely on the commercials?
$9.99 a month, because I don't want the commercials.
No, I don't either.
Oh.
I've,
so
we've
are
already
you
going to...
All right, ladies and gentlemen. What's that, Gina?
I said, are you going to watch Fastlane?
Oh, of course. We're at it.
Oh, of course. Yeah, definitely.
Well,
I actually like this card tonight.
I didn't even see who was on it, but no, I.
If I didn't have the radio shows and if I didn't have to go DoorDash and make an actual living, I'd sit here and watch wrestling all day every day.
Yep. Yes, sir.
I love my Monday night wrestling. Actually, I got some that I have to watch that I that's on my DVR. Monday Night Raw.
Okay, so anybody that's tuned in, we are talking strictly Fastlane tonight. We've been in depth with a couple of the matches on the card tonight, which we will get back to here shortly. I just wanted to take a quick pause and let anybody know. You can give a call in at 646-668-8672 if you want to talk anything about Fastlane. We have Gina on the phone right now, and just wanted to make sure everybody knew that the Fastlane kickoff show just kicked off. You know, we're just starting the kickoff show, so I'm keeping that on my tablet next to me so I can keep you guys up to date on what's going on. If you're, for some weird reason, you're listening to us instead of watching the actual kickoff show, which that wouldn't make any sense, but that's what we're trying to do here.
Right.
We're trying to give you guys a platform to talk about the pay-per-views during the kickoff shows, because, I mean, who really wants to listen to Peter Rosenberg talk about a pay-per-view for the umpteenth time in a row?
Right.
Don't get me wrong, Charlie Caruso's doing a fine job, and then you got Booker and Jerry Lawler, but, I mean, it's the same stuff every week, so, I mean, every month, so.
Yep.
I'm trying to give you guys another platform here where instead of listening to them, you can actually talk about it yourself.
We want other people's opinion.
People's opinion should count, or they don't count, but it doesn't matter, I guess.
What, come on to the show?
Well, no, not to come on to that show, whether they watch Fastlane or not. It seems like I get opinions both ways. Either they're going to watch it or they're not going to watch it.
It is so weird to me how many people I talk to, especially in the wrestling industry. You know, most of the independent wrestlers that I've dealt with, they don't even watch the product. They don't watch any wrestling whatsoever. They just worry about their careers and their independent companies. They don't watch the WWE product, which I always found was so weird.
Yeah, because, like my friends that wrestle, it's funny because they're big wrestler, but like you said, they don't watch wrestling hardly at all. And like Cody is an example, but then again, he's actually, I think, at a LLT show tonight, too. That boy keeps all my friends actually keep busy.
You gotta keep busy. Otherwise, the world kind of bears down on you, and you have to deal with the world. So if you keep busy, you don't have to deal with the world as much.
Yeah. I figured that out out to about the neighbor next door. If I just ignore him and do what I gotta do and totally ignore him, he'll leave me alone.
Yep, that's all you gotta do. Just ignore him. I mean, hopefully that's working out for you, because usually if you don't give bullies the time of day, they get bored and give up.
There you go.
In my neighborhood, exactly that. The biggest bully ever.
Ignore the negativity.
Oh, yeah. But my 11-year-old, when my mom drops him off, if he doesn't want to go with her, he sees Randy and says, "You hurt my mom, and I don't appreciate it. You need to leave her alone." I'm like, "Logan Michael." But he's like, "Sorry, Mom." It's like, I love you for trying to stick up for me, but I keep telling him if he touches you, he will deal with me. But luckily that hasn't happened.
Yeah.
Logan, my little bodyguard, he's such a sweetie.
Well, Gina, I think we've kind of reached the end of the conversation tonight. Is there anything else you wanted to add?
Nope, I just want to tell you thank you, and I'm looking forward to making the trip to Indiana.
And we're looking forward to seeing you at the show, absolutely.
And like I said, if you need me to do anything, let me know. I'll be willing to help.
Absolutely. I will definitely be talking to you about that. But I think for the first show, I just want you to come, sit, and enjoy, and then we'll talk business afterwards.
Sounds like a plan.
All right.
Okay, guys.
Well,
I love you guys. I'll talk to you. I love you guys.
All right.
Talk to you next Sunday.
Take care.
All righty. Bye-bye.
I will. Bye.
Okay, so.
Oh, he's a great guest.
Oh, absolutely. I love Gina to death. I mean, she's Gina, you know? And she had
right.
a hard life, and
exactly.
she's trying her best to deal with horrible situations, and she's, you know, the wrestling
making
industry the has allowed her to be positive about her life. And
yep. She's going to the gym all the time, it sounds like, so. Sounds like she's got a lot
she's
of positive things.
She's fighting hard to make a better life for herself.
Right.
So,
well, the pre-show
back to the card.
Okay.
We finished with Rollins and Nakamura. What's the next match on the card there, partner?
Okay, this is where I come in and say it's Riddle versus Mustafa. I can't stand Riddle. I'm sorry, that's my
opinion. Like him.
Do you?
I like him.
I see him losing.
I'm not saying I see him in a heavyweight potential, but I definitely enjoy his character. I like his abilities in the ring. It's nice to see Mustafa Ali.
Right.
Finally get something, so Retribution is not a total waste of space right at the moment. But I don't know how this is going to go down. There's not really much of a storyline to discuss here, but it's possible that Riddle's going to drop the title to Mustafa so that Retribution actually has something to sink their teeth into in the upcoming weeks.
Or
if
they
Riddle
let him
retains,
break up.
No, go ahead.
Or they let him break up. Let Mustafa become a singles wrestler. And that's where I bring in Nakamura after he loses to Rollins. You know eventually they're going to push Rollins up the ladder further than Nakamura.
No,
so why not let
Rollins
go
will be back in that title picture.
So why not let Nakamura get in that U.S. championship title thing? It all mixed.
No, absolutely. I mean, it could go either way. If Mustafa Ali wins, Nakamura could be the next one in line. Maybe Cesaro in line for it. I really don't care if Riddle retains, but if Riddle retains, I would like it to be because Retribution costed Mustafa Ali the title, and like you said, he decides that that's the last straw. He breaks up the Retribution and goes back into his singles career, and hopefully at least one of the guys from Retribution sticks around, preferably Dijakovic.
Right.
Or Mia Yim, and gets back into a singles career. But I'd actually even like to see Slapjack, who used to be what was his name? Something Thorn.
Yeah, it's right at the tip of my tongue. Anyway, I
Shane Thorn.
What's that?
Shane Thorn.
Okay.
And because I think that his in-ring style is different and yet even better than it was in NXT. So I'd like to see what they would do with him. But he's very lightweight,
right.
So I don't know if they do anything more than the mid-card title with him. Dijakovic, on the other hand, I could see him doing something, definitely.
Well, he's talented and he's young, so, you know, give him a little bit of time. And I would agree with that. I just, something.
And the other guy, I don't know, the other guy never even really debuted. I mean, he did a little bit of commentating in NXT years ago, and then all of a sudden he's back in this Retribution stable, so I don't even know what the hell they do with him.
Right. It, like I was saying, there's just something that rubs me wrong about Riddle. I don't see him at
Everybody's different. Everybody's entitled to their opinion. You know, it's like we said before about how The Miz took 15 years to earn the respect of everybody. But
that's what I mean.
You know,
it might take some time.
Riddle could be another one of those.
And let's see. I don't know how severe the injury is to Keith Lee.
Yeah, I know. That one pissed me off. I have not. I just knew that he was injured, which has got to be upsetting because, you know, he was on his way to the United States Championship. Then
right.
He gets his own 24 documentary on the network, and then, boom, he gets injured. And time off TV is the worst thing that can ever happen to a WWE talent because
– no.
I mean,
you know
sometimes it can be. Sometimes it can be good because you can always come back and be bigger than before. Triple H, when he tore his quad the first time, he came back and he was bigger than ever. You know, so it just all depends on how he approaches it, how WWE decides to push him when he gets back. But sometimes it could also be the worst thing that ever happened to you because when Finn Balor won the Universal Championship, being the first Universal Champion, tearing his shoulder in that match, and then he was out for 6 months to a year, and then he comes back and they virtually do nothing with him the entire time he's there. So time away from TV, it can really kill a career, and I'd hate to see that happen to Keith Lee. He's just too damn good.
I agree. And Finn Balor, they basically, okay, you got injured, you won the Universal title, now you got injured, here, we'll throw you a bone. Go to NXT, you're the champ.
Again, I think Finn Balor asked to go back. I don't think that was something they forced on him.
Okay, I didn't realize that. Okay.
I don't know if that's the story. I just believe that he asked to go back.
Right. Maybe he just thought he wasn't ready. You know, even though he won the belt that night.
I don't think it was that either. I think that he asked to go back because he felt more comfortable there and because he felt like Triple H and Shawn gave him more leeway to be who he wants to be. And I just think that maybe Finn felt like he was being too tied down by the main roster, that he wanted to have the freedom of NXT back.
I could see that, because when he was stripped, right, of the belt because he couldn't defend it. The Universal
title? He relinquished it because of the surgery.
Yeah, and then he probably figured, well, if I'm going to take this much time off and I come back, they're going to bury me like they have so many other people.
Not necessarily. I mean, he might have thought that
he'd make
a big return and go right back into the Universal title picture and win the championship back and whatnot. But when it didn't happen, that's when he probably felt like, damn, this time off sucked because now, you know, they don't have anything for me and this and that, and they won't let me do what I want to do.
Yep.
I mean, we love WWE, but it is a fact that a lot of talent feel like they are stifled a lot because the WWE creative is very strict on what they let you do. So, I mean, it's
absolutely.
Environment is just not for everybody. And maybe that's what Finn felt like. It's like this environment's not what I thought it was going to be, and I just don't feel like I'm being utilized properly. So let me just ask for a transfer back to NXT, because Shawn and Hunter are a lot more open to things.
Right. So there's a lot that could happen with that U.S. championship. I don't know. Like you said, it wouldn't bother me if Riddle retains. Okay, I can deal with him. Maybe he should be an NXT star. I mean,
well, that can be said about a lot of guys, because a lot of guys that are brought up from NXT are not being pushed getting the same reactions as they were in NXT. Keith Lee was the freaking heavyweight champion in NXT before he got called up, and he was so over. I mean, the crowd was insane for Keith Lee. And then in his first title defense, they drop it to Karrion Kross and pull him up to Monday Night Raw, and they haven't really done hardly anything with him. It pisses me off when these NXT guys get called up and they just get pushed down into the bottom of the card. I'm not saying that they should come in and go straight into world title pictures, but they're getting called up to the main roster, you should have some sort of idea of what you want to do with them for the next couple of years. Not just
Keith
bring
Lee
them up and hope
not,
that you find something.
Right. Keith Lee has size. He has the verbal, you know, on the microphone. He's perfect. I mean, almost perfect. I don't see a flaw in anything about him.
It's,
I really don't.
His size and his ability, because he can do a lot of things that big guys aren't really supposed to do.
Right.
He has that ability.
Exactly.
I'm not saying that they should cut him loose and let him do all of his high-flying stuff, because I had this conversation with my trainer the other day, is that when you're a big guy in the main roster, you're supposed to be a big guy. It takes away from the cruiserweights and the lighter guys that do those things. It takes away from them if everybody can do it. I understand that. But the fact that Keith Lee has these abilities means that, like, at the pay-per-views, in between pay-per-views, fine. He plays like a big guy. He doesn't do anything. But at the pay-per-views, when it really counts, he pulls his tricks out of the bag and shows the world I can still do these things and shock you that I can do these things.
And at that age, he can. I have to make a Dusty reference here. Back in WCW, Big Show was doing that kind of stuff. He would go on the second, third rope sometimes, flip off of it.
Missile drop
kick. Back behind.
I remember he used to do a missile drop kick from the top rope.
Yeah, he went back behind the curtain one night and said, Dusty said, you don't do that anymore, son. You don't do that. You're a giant. You're going to ruin your career if you keep doing that. Because eventually it'll take a toll on your knees and your hips and your back. You know, act like a giant. Don't act like a lucha libre.
Right. I mean, that's the other side of the – that's the corporate professional side of it, too, is that when you're bigger, those moves do take a bigger toll on your body. So if you want to have that 20, 30-year career in the main spotlight, you have to pace yourself.
Right. Absolutely.
So what we got next on the card here, sir?
Okay, we got a no-holds-bar match with Drew and Sheamus.
Okay, this needs to be the end of this rivalry. I mean, it absolutely has to be, because if Drew's going into WrestleMania to face Bobby Lashley, which that's also been etched in stone, they need to put this rivalry to bed. And that means that Drew has to get the victory here.
I agree.
Because
I mean,
it makes it predictable.
Right.
Sorry. I was going to say, just because they make it, because he's facing Bobby Lashley at WrestleMania, it makes his victory tonight predictable, which means predictability is also a curse of this business, because when something's predictable, you're not quite as invested in the outcome.
Well, they should try harder not to leak out information. We already know that that's the matchup for WrestleMania. So it makes this match almost a fill-in match, too, even though it might be a good one.
Right, no, absolutely. I mean, I think they could have swerved people by putting the stipulation on there that if Sheamus defeats McIntyre tonight, that Sheamus goes on to WrestleMania to face Bobby Lashley. Keep that little bit of a question mark.
Right. No, or a time limit or a double count out, and it's a three-way.
I don't know. I mean, that's one way you could go. I guess it's not here or there as far as good or bad. I don't know. I'd rather see Drew versus Bobby one-on-one.
Me too. I agree. So next is, I don't know. I'm thinking somehow Sheamus could win that. But I don't know what they do after that, because, like we've said, you got a short
time.
If Sheamus
wins, I truly believe you'll see that triple threat match, which I think it'll still be a great match, because you'll have the three big bulls in the ring going at it. You know, these three big bulls that can go, not just, you know, like Goldberg and Lesnar at WrestleMania 20. They can go.
Right.
You know, they'll put on a great match. That's not up for argument. And if it does go that route, so be it. I'll still love the match. It's just before it happens, I would prefer to see one-on-one.
No, I agree. I definitely agree. I'm not a big fan.
Maybe that's one of those things that they do pull a swerve at, because, like I said, they've already leaked that it's etched in stone. It's going to be Drew McIntyre versus Bobby Lashley. But then if Sheamus wins tonight and they change it to a triple threat match, you know, it could happen, just because that wasn't leaked.
And they might keep it a secret until WrestleMania, if somehow they can.
No, they would have to pull the trigger on it tomorrow night. They would have to pull the trigger on that tomorrow night. But the fact that all this stuff was leaked weeks ago, trying to shake things up at the last minute. You know, I mean, I could see that easily happening.
We're 20 days away from WrestleMania.
Three weeks.
You'd have to do it either.
I hate it.
So you'd either...
I really do. We've said it before.
Yeah.
There should be at least a 5 to 6 week buildup before WrestleMania, but
totally
we went a different direction this year.
Yep. I don't understand it, but guess true.
I can handle all the pay-per-views that they can throw at me all year round. But when you come
right.
to WrestleMania, you should have that break in pay-per-views to build up to WrestleMania to make it that must-see event.
Right. I'd say even, okay, maybe allow 6 weeks in between a WrestleMania and the last one. And then maybe 4 weeks for the other big three. You know, and see
if I mean,
that
in
works.
A perfect world, yes. In a perfect world, I would like build up for every pay-per-view. But WrestleMania is the be-all, end-all. That's the
right.
one that I can I can't bend on my philosophy on that. SummerSlam, Survivor Series, Royal Rumble, I'm not worried about pay-per-views leading up to that. You could have a pay-per-view the week prior to it. I'm not going to feel any less about the other three big ones. But WrestleMania, I can't budge on that. You need at least 5 weeks minimum to make that the spectacle it's supposed to be.
And I always said I don't like multiple tag teams. They used to have a six-man back in other federations. I'm a two-man, you know, tag team. But I'm not the biggest fan of Survivor Series anymore because they always had traditional, you know, teams. And then maybe your heavyweight champion defending his title, maybe the Intercontinental in there too. So.
Well, Survivor Series started off as a gimmicky thing where you had the team names and the rival, like the team captains would have a rivalry and they pick their four teammates, give them that team name, and then you have your elimination matches. And it was good for the first handful of years, but then
right.
it kind of slid back. It slid into more standard pay-per-view where there was a bunch of singles matches, some tag matches, this and that, and a heavyweight match. And every once in a blue moon, they would have your traditional five-on-five elimination. They really picked back up with the five-on-five traditional matches around the time that they started doing bragging rights, Raw versus SmackDown.
Right.
And since then,
they usually have...
at least, especially with when you have the brand extensions, the brand splits or whatever, they usually always have a Raw versus SmackDown traditional match, which I'm fine with that. It's,
right.
I wish that they would put SmackDown over sometimes because it seems like Raw always gets the better of SmackDown, except for 2 years ago. NXT got the better of both, which I did enjoy.
Yeah. Right.
I thought that was spectacular. I did not expect them to put NXT over as much as they did.
No, I didn't either. That's why I need to start watching it more. I've watched it. I watch it probably every 2 weeks. I tape both episodes, or DVR both episodes, and then I'll watch them.
Well, here's the thing, okay? NXT is still as good as it's always been. And
right.
somebody made a comment on social media that I do agree with, is that NXT, at the stage that it's at, should be showing some sign of growth, and it's not. It's leveled
right.
off. It's kind of staying where it's at. And it's sad a little bit because I want to see them grow. I want to see NXT become the top brand and eventually
right.
take over Raw.
But, and it's sort of sad, too, because I have watched the ratings. AEW is creeping up, almost passing them. And there have been
I think they're going a little back and forth. I'm not sure how often you check them or whatnot, but I know that the week that AEW cracked 1 million viewers and Jericho took responsibility for that, that they beat NXT. I want to say that the week that Sting debuted, they beat NXT.
Right.
So, I mean, that's, like I said, there's a Wednesday night war going on between AEW and NXT, which is good for the two brands.
Right. I did read a small rumor, and it's only a rumor until it's not. Or, you know, it's only an angle. NXT is thinking about moving to Tuesday.
Which is also possible. Oh, okay. I'm watching on the kickoff show right now. They're trying to say that Shane McMahon injured his knee earlier today while preparing
his
match with Braun.
I'm watching it, too. Oh,
I told you he was going to chicken his way out of the match, and it's going to lead up to WrestleMania.
So who's he going to replace with that, or if anybody?
How much you want to bet he throws Adam Pearce to the Wolves?
Yeah, I'll bet you're right. He's the boss over Adam. We still don't know what title Adam holds. Booker still looks like he could wrestle.
Well, starting to look more. Oh no, Booker's definitely. He's in great shape. I mean, you saw him at the Royal Rumble when Bad Bunny was doing his stupid music song. That when Booker was standing behind him in the army get up, Booker's still well built. He goes to the gym all the time.
Right.
He could easily wrestle.
He owns the Federation, I believe, down in Texas.
Yeah, he does. Absolutely, he does. We were talking about that with Sonny Ono during that interview. He had something to do with Booker and his organization down there. That's where they were recruiting some guys to go do some stints over in Japan.
Okay, yeah, that's right. Okay, I remember that now.
But,
I
bet you they throw Adam Pearce to the Wolves and Braun just squashes him in a heartbeat.
Right.
So... I told you that was going to happen. I told you he was either going to get disqualified or counted out, or he was going to chicken shit his way out of the match, and he chicken shitted his way out of the match.
There you go. See, you called it. But what do you think at the end?
What's next on the card?
He'll come back.
Oh, I think that he'll come out. Oh, absolutely. He'll come out after the match and attack Braun. Oh, I'm feeling better now all of a sudden.
Oh, this was last Friday. Okay. So, I got to say McIntyre. I think Sheamus might win it and make it more interesting. I'd rather see McIntyre like you to make it a one-on-one.
Actually, the more we talked about it, the more I kind of got intrigued about the concept of the triple threat match. But because it would be hard to tell who was going to walk away in the triple threat match. It's still hard to tell because, you know, Drew, I mean, I think they're going to stick with Bobby for a while, but with Drew and Sheamus in there, it is a hard call.
Right.
They could go back to Drew. They could swerve and go with Sheamus, but I think they're going to stay with Bobby for a while.
And I think they should. I really do. Where do you get that off of, Cal?
I know, right? The suit that Seth Rollins is wearing here, folks. I hope you're listening and watching to the kickoff show at the same time because it literally looks like Seth Rollins dipped his suit in chocolate milk or something.
He's
got
he'll call it a $10,000 suit.
Green. That's the green and blue in a sea of white and browns. Wow, that is an ugly suit.
No doubt. You couldn't pay me to wear that suit.
Well, I don't know, man. If I was getting the paydays that Seth was getting, I'd wear that suit.
Well, you really have to convince me. But, hey, another Dusty reference. They put him in polka dots, and he was okay.
That's all I'm saying, man. That's all you got to do.
Anyway, you want to go to the next match?
Yes, please. What is the next match on the card?
The Intercontinental Championship, Big E and Apollo.
I'm hoping and praying that Big E retains, because this whole storyline with Apollo is ridiculous. It's annoying. You want to go with this whole Nigerian nobility thing and
yep.
personality shift. Okay, fine. But they crossed the line when they gave Apollo the accent. It's like
yep.
Apollo's been in the business in NXT and WWE for probably about 5 years now. And we've seen and heard so many promos and mic work with Apollo, but now all of a sudden he talks like a full-blooded Nigerian.
Sort of like Kofi when he talked with the accent when he first came, and then they exploited it.
But that was backwards,
yeah.
though. You know, he came in
no,
as,
I understand.
As Jamaican.
And I agree with you. I agree with you. They crossed the line. They really did, and I hope Big E
retains
also.
All I
want to
see is somebody call him out on it. I want to see somebody get in his face and say, what the hell is with the accent?
Maybe Big E will do
you're
that
from,
tonight.
Because where is he, Bill? He used to be Bill from Stone Mountain, Georgia, okay? I want to see somebody
right.
call him out on that. You're from Stone Mountain, Georgia. What's with the accent?
You know who else was, don't you? Stone Mountain Joe. Oh, they're putting
absolutely.
The riddle match.
Snake Roberts.
Right.
Yeah, they put the United States Championship on the kickoff show. So we're going to see Riddle versus Mustafa Ali on the kickoff show, which I'm not surprised in the slightest.
Jerry. Jake's dad, Jerry Blackwell, do you remember him?
No, that was before my time. But, I mean...
Okay.
Jake was also billed from Stone Mountain, Georgia, I thought.
No, he was, definitely. And he had a sister that wrestled in WWF for Rockin' Robin.
Rockin' Robin is Jake's sister?
Absolutely.
Oh, I did not know that.
Yep. It's all three of them wrestled big time. The father, Jerry, the Crusher Blackwell, he was awesome for a 350-pounder. We all know Jake's, you know, he was great, too. Rockin' Robin just
no, Jake was one of the greatest,
title.
Honestly. I mean,
right.
Jake's
Snake
Roberts was like Roddy Piper. He was one of those unsung guys that never made, got the title.
Right.
Which I thought was, you know, it was a damn shame. And I honestly, I believe if you took the entire 80s roster that we all love and put them in current day wrestling in their prime, that Roddy Piper would have gotten the title, Jake the Snake would have gotten the title, because it's no
yep.
longer about one man. It's not about Hulk Hogan anymore, you know. They
there
spread the
go.
Wealth a little bit with these guys.
There you go. I absolutely agree. Okay, so Big E, I think he has to retain.
I hope the guy
Apollo.
They finally give Big
yeah.
E this push. It's too soon to take it away from him. Unless they do a build up to where he regains it at WrestleMania.
In the 80s and 90s, the Intercontinental Championship was the next step. To the
well, yeah, well, that
world
was back when you had WCW and they had the United States Championship. It was two separate companies, you know. So, I mean,
right?
Because that was the same in WCW. If you were United States Champion, that was one step before you hit the heavyweight title. Now, that's the downfall of today.
Just a fantasy match. What do you think about Big E and Big Man for Raw?
Keith,
Or Bobby.
Bobby. I knew who he was. I just figured.
Big E versus Bobby Lashley.
Bobby Lashley. Yeah. Big E versus Bobby Lashley for the title.
I don't know. It would have to depend on the build-up to the story, honestly. I mean, Big E's right. I think that the promo, that the interview thing that they did with Bob, Big E and Apollo this past week was phenomenal. Regardless of the fact that I hate the accent from Apollo Crews, I think Big E is really hitting a stride, because the intensity and the fire and the hatred that Big E was putting over in that promo, I thought was just spot on.
Oh, I totally agree. And Big E, I'm so glad he broke away from New Day, you know, being over in SmackDown, right?
Well, both.
I mean, Apollo Words.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, remember I said yesterday, if you don't leave, we can't miss you? Before, nobody could hear it.
Well, it was always speculated on when they were going to do it, because eventually it was going to have to happen, and how they were going to do it. I was surprised split them up with the draft, and they still keep them all baby faces and still friends.
I was just thinking the New Day in general. I love them. I really do. They just won the tag team championship again. But take some time off. Drop them. Take some time off. Come back, and you'll get a big pop.
Well, here's the thing, though.
Xavier
Woods
gone.
Been out for the better part of a year. Xavier Woods was gone for nearly a year.
Yeah,
because
but
of
him
the Achilles
and Big E were still part of New Day. But him and Big E were still part of New Day.
In my opinion, would have been a good thing that when Xavier Woods had the injury, that let Kofi go back into the main title picture for a while.
Right.
And let Big E work in his mid-card title for a while until Xavier came back. And then, you know, Xavier and Kofi can hook back up. Big E says, hey, I'm doing good with this, you know, singles career. I think I'm going to stick with this, yada, yada.
Sure.
But it didn't go that way.
You know, it's just my opinion. I do. I love the New Day. It just seems like they're always there. And, you know, even Legends Federation.
Now it's just, you know, Xavier and Kofi. And
right.
I'm fine with them being the New Day tag team. I'm fine with that.
I'm fine with them just being the New Day and let Big E do things on his own.
I'm fine with that. I don't think that New Day should have won the titles, though, this past Saturday. Monday. I don't think they should have won the titles. They need to have the Hurt Business stay on top right at the moment, because Shelton and Cedric didn't have anything going for them. Cedric, you know, New Day doesn't have anything to prove. They've proved everything they need to. They are top billing no matter where they're at.
Totally agree.
And Shelton are going to go right back into, you know, obscurity now as just being tag-alongs for Bobby and MVP.
I agree. Okay, so we're both in agreement. We hope Big E retains.
Absolutely. Unless, like I said, it's going to be a build-up back to WrestleMania where he regains it.
Okay. I could see that happening, too. You know, never know what's going to happen.
Regaining the title at WrestleMania would do nothing but help Big E with his push.
Right. Next match on the card is the Women's Tag Team Championships. Shayna Baszler and Jax versus
Indifferent on this. I really am. I'm so freaking indifferent on this one because I could care less. I'm excited to see Sasha versus Bianca at WrestleMania, but I don't care about seeing Sasha and Bianca face each other at WrestleMania as tag team champions as well. I don't care about
that. That's just it. That's the same thing. They got no chance of winning, in my opinion. Why would you do that? Why would
but
you
here's
make
the thing, is
you?
That they're it looks like they're going that way because they're starting to have a rift in between Shayna and Nia. Because
right.
Shayna kicked Nia in the face Monday.
And then with what's his name coming into the mix?
Reginald, give me a break about the Reginald. Jesus Christ. I was fine with Reginald being, you know, Carmella's little tag along.
Right.
And I'm fine with Reginald being Nia's little love subject, whatever. But this whole storyline with Reginald being obsessed with Sasha and this, like, weird triangle thing going on and all this fun stuff, it's just, like, stupid to me.
And one thing I have to say is I think as a singles wrestler, they abuse Nia Jax. Come on, she's a brick.
Oh, no,
you know?
Absolutely. I mean, I'm fine with what they've been doing because I think that her and Shayna have been doing a great job as the women's tag team title holders.
Right.
But Nia, just because of her years in, the time that she's put in and everything, I think Nia should always be in that top-tier championship status.
Yep.
She should be going after Asuka or something along those lines.
Exactly, exactly. And another wrestler, I'm glad to see women's wrestler, that they're starting to push a little bit, maybe because it's the end of her career, Tamina.
Tamina and Natalya, I am perfectly fine with seeing those two get the tag team titles.
Right.
Because Natalya has been the workhorse of the women's division for, God, over a decade now. And
oh, at least.
Tamina, she has been so stop and start again. She has issues with mic skills. But Natalya can cover that up. That's no problem there. And Tamina is good in the ring. There's no arguing that. So
right.
I'd like to see those two get the titles.
And the only problem with Tamina is she learned her mic skills from her dad, Jimmy Snuka.
Well, yeah. And Snuka didn't talk too well himself. So not much of an example there.
No. I think that's the only thing he ever said. Hey, brother. With his Hawaiian, you know, fingers up.
Absolutely.
But I think Shayna and
Nia. I'm totally
Nia
indifferent
retain.
On that one. I hope so.
I think Shayna and Nia are going to retain.
Let Shayna and Nia retain and then go into a program with Natalya and Tamina and let them pick it off while they split up. That's fine with me.
What about Mandy and Dana?
Well, they were starting to get a push when they first came out as a tag team, and I thought I was very happy about that because Dana Brooke is another one of those young ladies that have been around for quite a few years now and has never really gotten a viable push. So I
nope.
would have been happy
she
with
has,
that too. But
she has what they call paid her dues.
Exactly.
You
and
know,
she's not bad on the microphone. She's had a couple of really
no,
good
she's
promos,
not.
Promos over the years.
And
so.
She's, you know, I want to say gorgeous, but I'm worried about
no,
those
Dana's
Botox lips.
No, Dana's definitely gorgeous. Yeah.
You know, because she changed her look a little
yeah.
bit when she
yeah.
got the Botox in the lips.
Agreed.
anyway,
I was never a real fan of some of her outfits either, but
I wasn't either. But so,
but she, like I said, I would have been happy with that, but it looks like they've shifted gears and they're not pushing that team anymore. So,
right.
maybe they shift gears again and they go in that direction. Either way, okay. So Matt Riddle has retained his championship, as somewhat predicted.
Okay,
and. Unfortunately, it was a clean win, so there's no split in the retribution like I was predicting.
Right.
He does the bro Derek from the middle rope to get the victory. And that'll wrap it up for the kickoff match. and now we got another 10 minutes of listening to the panel flap their jaws. We are down to 10 minutes, so we have to get ready to wrap this up ourselves here, partner. Mustafa's pissed off. He's taking it out on Retribution. We're probably screaming, "Where were you? Where were you? You guys have let me down, probably. I can't hear nothing because I have the volume down because of the radio show, but
it's gonna be
he's yelling at them
for
not doing anything. Uh-oh. Mia, or I know, can't think of her Retribution name, but she looks like she's pissed off. She's in Mustafa's face.
She's going to hit him, and
and she's walking off.
The rest of them will beat on him. No?
Oh, okay. She's leaving.
Yep.
Oh. Wait a minute. Here we go. Here goes the breakup of Retribution. Slapjack's on his way out the door.
Yep.
Good. Let's see how this plays out in upcoming weeks. Yeah, okay, you had two people walk out on you, so let's start screaming at the two guys that are bigger than you.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yep, there we go.
Oh, yeah.
Double choke slam. And Retribution is over. Finally, somebody in the back said, "This shit ain't working. Let's go in a different direction." Okay. How many matches do you got left to talk about?
One. But I want to say Baszler and Jax will retain. What do you say?
Maybe. I think that they'll retain, and it won't be a clean win. Reginald gets involved somehow, or there's a miscommunication between Sasha and Bianca that cost him the victory some sort.
Main event, Universal Championship, Reigns versus Bryan. Edge as a special guest enforcer. Does that make
him a ref? Okay, we've got 7 minutes to touch on this one, but I honestly, Roman Reigns is going to win. It's going to be a great match. Daniel Bryan will give us a great match, as he always does. But Reigns is winning. It's going to be Reigns versus Edge at WrestleMania, unless they wind up going and making it a triple threat again. I mean, we could go that route, too.
I'm thinking Edge will get involved some way and cost Daniel Bryan. But it'll still be Reigns versus Edge at WrestleMania. But then after that, Edge could have a problem with Bryan.
Possibly. I'm not saying that they're going to make Daniel a heel again, but they have shown a couple of little signs that that might be where they're deciding to go. And if that does happen and Edge ends up costing Daniel Bryan the title inadvertently, I would assume that that would be something that would push Daniel Bryan back into being a heel. And then, yes, you're right. Maybe he costs Edge the title at WrestleMania and leads into a program with Daniel Bryan and Edge following WrestleMania.
Right.
But either way, I think Roman Reigns retains and is going to be in WrestleMania.
I agree. He's still the head of the table.
Well, partner. Oh, absolutely. He's killing it too much in this role right now for them to put a stop to it.
Right. I think the only one.
As long as he wins fair and square at WrestleMania, I mean, that's fine with me. I mean, we were just speculating Daniel Bryan's involvement, but it's much like when Jinder Mahal was a champion. I don't care if the heel cheats to win, but from time to time, they need to win clean so that they can still say that they're as good as they say they are. Jinder Mahal not once retained his title without outside interference from the Singh brothers, which takes away
right.
from the abilities that he was claiming to have.
Yes, sir. I agree. And Ric Flair the same way. A lot of times he had help, he cheated, but there were a lot of singles matches, not comparing the two, that Ric did win on his own.
Oh, no,
he
absolutely.
Did use,
Ric won a million
you know,
singles matches on his own long before the Horsemen were together. So
right.
he had already established his abilities in the ring. And
exactly.
like you said, even after the Horsemen were put together, he still won a lot of his singles matches straight up. You know,
but he's about
it's
the
just,
closest example I could think of as far as cheating to win.
Right.
I mean, there's probably a lot of other ones, but.
So that's going to bring us to the end of the show this week, ladies and gentlemen. Honestly, I'm a little surprised that Al and I were able to stretch out this kickoff show for the entire 2 hours without, you know, I thought we were going to run through the card in the first half hour and then just have nothing to talk about. But we
Gina
pulled it
off,
partner.
Us out too.
Well, yeah, Gina took
out
about 20, 30 minutes of it, but still, it's fine.
It's great to hear from
you. It worked out for the best.
Yep.
So, everybody, we've got
right.
about 3 minutes until the Fast Lane event starts. So we are going to go real quick with this last 3 minutes. We're still holding steady at 33 subscribers on the YouTube channel. So if you want a chance at winning $100 of my money, you got to get out there. You got to subscribe. You got to tune in. You got to listen for those code words. When we hit 40 subscribers, I'll drop another code word. 50 subscribers, I'll drop another code word. But if we don't get to 100, you don't get the chance at $100 of my money. And in this time in that we live in, $100 is $100. It's some, you know, it's money.
Sure is.
We all need money right now. So go to YouTube, subscribe. Make sure you tune in. You listen for those code words. Jason has already got a heads up on all of y'all because he's always tuning in. He's always listening. He's not kind of been calling in because he works on Sundays. So he's been listening to the replays and getting the caught up on the code words and everything. So don't let Jason just by default get my $100. Give him some competition.
That's right.
And as always, we'll be back here next week, and in a couple of weeks, probably about 2 weeks from tonight, I should be able to pull up video, get the stream going. But next week, we will for sure just be doing Blog Talk Radio, and we will do part two of Wrestle War 91. And I think on that note, we're going to wrap this up. Give a call in at 646-668-8672 next week as well. And we'll talk about the fallout from Fastlane and start talking about WrestleMania and our plans for the WrestleMania kickoff show that's going to be aired at the Detroit Wrestling Connections WrestleMania viewing party that our producer, Martez Ale, has planned for Sunday night. April 11th. Oh,
sounds great.
I think I got it all out there. All right, partner. So we're going to call that a night, and we will be back again next Sunday at 4 p.m. Central.
Sounds good.
Everybody
have a good week.
Thanks for tuning in, and have a great night.
My Two Cents on Wrestling, the only place to relive the best and the worst of professional wrestling of all.